Welcome and thank you for joining the Georgia Baptist Foundation podcast. It's a privilege for us today to have Beth Ann Williams just to come and share with us a little bit about women in ministry. And Beth Ann, I was looking to kind of determine exactly what your role is. And I know on one side you serve for the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, and on the other side you're kind of serving with Georgia WMU. Maybe you could just kind of clarify for those who are listening with our audience just exactly kind of what your role is and what your responsibilities are as it relates to WMU and Georgia Baptist women.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks for inviting me to be a part of the podcast. And I do serve as the lead strategist for Georgia Baptist Women. And so in Georgia, what we've done is really created an umbrella called Georgia Baptist Women to incorporate both serving leaders of churches that have Women's Missionary Union and then leaders of churches that have WMU or women's ministry. So really, all women in our churches are Georgia Baptist women, whether that church expresses it as WMU or women's ministry. So that's how we do it. Now with WMU, we do have an executive board that works to help further missions education specifically and discipleship in our churches, as well as run our camp facility, Pinnacle Retreat Center. But we do our best to really be unified, WMU and women's ministry.
And that makes sense because really that's the way it is in the local church. And so it just seems as though you're trying to match what's actually taking place in the local church and what the church has experienced. So tell me, from our working together through the years, I know you're from Kentucky, spent some time in Utah and then here in Georgia. Tell us just a little bit about that journey as far as how the Lord kind of brought you here.
Yeah. So I first came to Georgia as a US-2 missionary and was assigned to work with the Olympic Ministry for 1996 in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
So came as a young woman and just had a wonderful time. We had about 13,000 Southern Baptists that came and ministered during the Olympics. Met my husband during that time. And then after the Olympics were over, Georgia Baptist started Mission Volunteers. And that was a time in the world when people were starting to take mission trips. There were starting to be partnerships. So we have partnerships that we would mobilize Georgia Baptist. Well, as fate would have it, Salt Lake City was awarded the Winter Olympic Games. And so we were doing some consulting back and forth since we'd had the games in Atlanta. And after a trip, maybe my second trip out there, the Lord began to move on my heart. And I was asked to come out and direct the Winter Olympic Ministry for Utah Idaho Baptist. So that's what took my husband and I out there. We stayed 8 years and then came back to Georgia about 15 years ago.
So you probably have the unique experience to have served both in a summer and a winter Olympics. There's probably not many folks that have done that.
Yeah, very, very different. The size is different. You know, summer's a lot bigger than winter and just obviously the weather.
So with that experience of working in both Olympics, what just maybe some interesting things that you experienced? Anything that you'd want to share with the audience?
Oh my goodness. You know, there's something special about an Olympic ministry, Jonathan. It's almost like a window opens where people are open to hear the gospel because they're open to you and what's important to you. So you'll be on trains or standing in line and people say, well, hey, where are you from? What do you do? And it's just such natural opportunities to share about Christ. And that's what we saw happen in Atlanta and Salt Lake and many other Olympics. So it's that 2-week window that's really magical.
And I've seen just recently, looks like they're trying to get folks that would be willing to go to Paris for the Olympics coming up in Paris.
I saw that too. I don't have a lot of info on it, but I know the missionaries are working on having teams come over.
Yeah, so there may be some folks that are listening to our podcast that say, I would like to have that experience and be involved that way. I'm sure that they could check with the North American Mission Board or with the International Mission Board about some of those opportunities.
Yes.
It sounds like it'd be something if the opportunity presented itself, you would certainly recommend that they consider going.
Definitely. It's a special time.
That's great. Well, we want to take just a few minutes today. As you know, in Southern Baptist life, there's been a whole lot of discussion about the role of women in ministry. And that's not really where we want to focus today. What we would like to focus on is just the value of women in ministry. And that's been a concern of mine, that as we talk about the role, that I just don't want us to lose the conversation about the value of women in ministry. And so I'd love just to kind of hear your thoughts just as far as the value of ministry, women in ministry. We can talk about it from several different perspectives. So let's just talk about really from just the role of women in ministry from the mission field. Certainly, you know, with Lottie Moon and others, we have had a host of just phenomenal female missionaries in our Southern Baptist life. And just maybe talk a little bit about that and your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, we have an incredible legacy of women who were really called and willing to go early. We have stories of women who sacrificially gave to missions from their egg money or from making rags out of their clothes to sell. So just that sacrificial giving. Here in Georgia, we had our first women's missionary society in 1813 out of Savannah.
Wow.
And that came as a result of hearing Adoniram Judson come and share a little bit about what was happening in India. And so just from there, we saw missions really begin to spark in the women. So yes, Annie Armstrong, Lottie Moon, some of those early pioneers that, you know, there's a story of Annie. She wrote 18,000 letters in 1 year to Southern Baptist pastors asking them to support missions.
Wow.
And so these were women who were called when women really had no voice at all and really did not let that stop them. They were obedient to what they felt God calling them to do.
So let me just, if I remember my Baptist history, the Georgia Baptist Convention was created in 1822, if I remember that correctly. So what you're telling us is that really women have been involved in missions efforts even before the convention was started.
That's right.
Wow. That's something I don't think a lot of people realize.
Yeah. We officially organized in 1878 here in Georgia for our women. So,
but you had a society of at least.
But at that point, there were 72 missionary societies already around our state.
My goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yes.
It really is. But talk to us just a little bit. So, you know, with the role of women and the value of women in ministry, just talk to us a little bit about what that looks like on the mission field today. Do you, any thoughts as far as that's concerned?
You know, when I think about just the mission field, I think, you know, thinking about overseas, you know, men, women, single women, single men. I mean, there are responsibilities and mission opportunities for all. And, you know, we've seen so many young women. We just counted, I'm giving my report tomorrow for Women's Missionary Union. We've had 43 young women since 2007 from Camp Pinnacle go to the mission field. So God is moving and working in the lives of young women to call them out. So we see that as very important.
Yeah, just to, you mentioned that, you're probably familiar with the story. You know, my daughter had the opportunity to serve in Johannesburg, South Africa this summer, and one of the missionaries she was working with was a missionary that she had met when she went up to Camp Pinnacle during the summer as a young lady. And so it's just neat to see how God uses those opportunities and those connections through the years. That's great. You know, one of the things, and you may or may not have a thought on this, but one of the things that I feel that we should maybe elevate the conversation is that in our culture, it seems as though the secular world is taking over the mindset. And I think we're losing the value of that there are both single men and women that God has called to serve in missions and other roles that are completely content in that calling. And maybe they're not intended to marry. And that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with them or, you know, they succumb to some pressure that the culture is trying to place on them. Because so many of the women that have served so faithfully through the years have chosen to be single because they've basically wanted their ministry and their missions efforts to really be their primary focus. Any thoughts on that as far as what you're seeing and what you're sensing?
I mean, I couldn't agree more with everything you've just said. And just some of the most incredible women either I have served with now or have served with in the past or missionaries that I've met on the field have been single women who felt a call of God to go and to serve, who could not be doing what they're doing if they were married or had children. So definitely a specific calling, and there's some incredible women serving in that way. And you know, I do hate that culture puts that stigma there.
You know, and I hope that those listening to the podcast and those that maybe just have the opportunity to speak to young ladies and even young men from that standpoint, that if you know, with social media and so much out there that's encouraging and directing and really criticizing different things, that there would be leaders, there would be folks maybe listening to this podcast, that if they know of a young lady or a young man that feels called to missions but really may feel that God's called them to missions and to not, you know, get married, that they would be supportive of that and would help them understand the history of how God's used the folks like that through the years, and just to be an encourager, because I really don't think anybody's talking about that or encouraging that among this generation. It just doesn't seem that way.
Right. You know, I'm probably jumping ahead, but that really is a great segue into the value of women in ministry in the local church.
Yeah.
You know, as we think about our culture, I mean, 52% of our population is women. And
right.
So our church reflects usually what's happening in our population, and even more so, our churches are filled with women.
That's
and
right.
So it's very important to have that woman that can really respond to some of these unique needs or issues or situations that our women are facing.
That's right. And to be able to come alongside them, really to be able to draw in ways to support and encourage women that's probably inappropriate for a pastor or for a male to do. The women really give that opportunity to do that in a safe environment, in a safe place. And so I certainly see that. So to talk to us just a little bit, when you talk about women in the local church, where do you see just maybe some of the greatest value that women bring to the local church setting? Where are you seeing that as you're working with women across the state of Georgia?
You know, I may be repeating myself, but, you know, I do think about our congregations. They are full of women. Mm-hmm. And women, as they develop spiritually, they're maybe unique things, specific things that they need help with or want to talk through woman to woman that maybe a man wouldn't understand.
That's right.
Or may not be appropriate. So just in women's ministry and Women's Missionary Union and other roles of women in serving in the church, it's just so important that our women have a place to turn.
Sure.
For their spiritual growth, for their emotional growth and health.
You know, as I was thinking through just leading up to the podcast, you know, over and over again, we hear that one of the greatest evangelical efforts that we have in a local church is Vacation Bible School. And I can't think of, you know, the majority of our churches, those Vacation Bible Schools are predominantly ran by women. And so I think it's just important to elevate one of the things that we do as a church that really has the greatest impact of reaching people with the gospel is something that's basically, in most cases, ran and administered and served by women. And so just once again, it's just a way to show the value of women in the local church.
Yeah, and I mean that as well as our compassion ministries. When we think
that's
about
right.
reaching the community for Christ, a lot of times it's the women who will step up. And, you know, no disrespect to men. Our men are
that's
doing
right.
a lot of great things. But I'm so proud of our women and the way they step into the gap and they're willing to go out into the community where it's hard and tackle some of those hard issues.
That's right.
I know through Women's Missionary Union, we have something called Project Help. And over the years, the women have been really willing to talk about some things that nobody in the church wants to talk about. Things back in the day, HIV, AIDS, restorative justice, trafficking, generational poverty. Right now we have a focus on mental health. So just some of those hard things that
yeah.
I think our women step into.
So what are some ways that, you know, we may have some ladies listening that maybe their church is not doing that much from a women on mission perspective or engaged. What are some resources or some training that your department, your group makes available that would be able to help women that want to do more in their local church
okay.
from a missions perspective?
Okay. Well, the first thing I would just say is to have them, you know, to start praying, just that God would continue to lead them. And if there were opportunity then to take a next step to meet with a pastor or someone on staff to say, this is my heart, what I'm feeling, where I think maybe we could have, you know, some more representation or ministry to women. And then as Georgia Baptist women, we're there to consult, to coach, to pray for, to walk alongside. You know, there are churches that have WMU, there are churches that have women's ministry, but there are a lot of churches that really don't have anything
right,
right now specifically for women in missions or ministry. So we're here to help a church figure out what can we do and how can we do it effectively.
And, you know, certainly our role at the foundation is to, on the money side of things, you know, we wouldn't be appropriate to talk about the value of women in ministry, especially the value of women in Georgia Baptist and Southern Baptist life, if we didn't talk about just their encouragement for contributions to our offerings and other things. And so maybe you have a thought or two as far as that's concerned, just from the fundraising side of
yeah.
it, really, because
yeah.
That's been a major component of what WMU has done for years.
Yeah, I have a couple thoughts on that. You know, one, it's been quite a few years now, and I don't think we gather the information to be able to say this specific statistic, but about 8 years ago, we studied the churches who give to the cooperative program from Georgia Baptist.
Okay.
And 72% of the cooperative program receipts came from churches that had a WMU organization.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty strong correlation.
Yeah. So we feel like having that missions focus in the church does affect giving, not just cooperative program, but missions giving and charitable giving. And, you know, we're so fortunate through Women's Missionary Union to have Pinnacle Retreat Center and have opportunities for our women to give to our endowment there and for our endowment for the work of WMU to continue.
You know, there may be some folks in our audience that are not familiar with Pinnacle. Why don't you take just a moment and kind of share with them all the different things that's going on at Camp Pinnacle, or actually Pinnacle Retreat Center and Camp Pinnacle being part of that.
Yeah, so Camp Pinnacle is in Clayton, Georgia, up in Rabun County. We've got 47 acres there. That opened in 1947 as a summer camp for girls, and every summer had a missions-focused summer camp. But then in 1997, we built a year-round lodge. So now it is just a modern-day, full-facility, year-round conference and retreat center. So groups can come throughout the year for retreats, rent it for their own events, or they can still come during the summer and attend camp. For those, Jonathan, who maybe young women who are starting maybe to have a call, like, God, maybe you're calling me to do something, we have opportunities for young women to serve at camp.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so we'd love to talk to any young woman, really junior in high school through college, that might want to serve for the summer at Camp Pinnacle.
You know, and one of the things about Camp Pinnacle that I think is just so valuable and so important is certainly there are a whole host of camp options around the state and around the country. But there's in those camp options, the kids or the ladies or whoever it may be would get a fun experience, but they're not really going to be engaged in missions and trained in missions and really encouraged in the work of Christ around the world. And that's one of, to me, I think one of the unique differentiators between Camp Pinnacle and just some other summer camp type program. And I know maybe you want to talk a little bit about how you bring missionaries in and have you have a focus each summer and just kind of let folks know a little bit about that.
Yeah, every summer we choose a place either in the nation or around the world to focus on. The girls experience that culture there at camp. We do touch, taste, smell, meals, all kinds of experiences. We have missionaries from those areas connecting with the girls every week. So we talk about what's God doing, how's he moving and working around the world. But then we also transition that, Jonathan, to say, okay, now what could God be calling you to do? Because you are a part of his plan to be known to the nations. And so it's not just learning about everything happening, but it's also transitioning to you are a missionary and he may be calling you.
And I bring that up because as we talk about the value of women in ministry, you know, I see Camp Pinnacle almost like a baseball feeder program, where we're giving these young ladies the opportunity to basically follow the leading that God has on their life, whether that be into full-time mission service or full-time ministry, or whether it just simply to be a leader in their church. They're given that opportunity to develop that and to learn more about that. And really, I believe that it creates an opportunity for us to raise up the next generation of mission leaders really across our state and around the world.
It sure does. And I don't, if we had time, I could tell you a couple stories of just, you know, specifics where people had their call, young women had their call to full-time missions and ministry at Camp Pinnacle. So,
yeah, just a unique, it's a unique place that God's used just year after year.
Yes, it's holy ground for sure.
Yeah, to draw people in. Well, you know, as we kind of come to the close of our time together, Bethann, any other thoughts as far as the value of women in ministry and just things that you feel like the audience might need to know and just a way to kind of encourage that and let's kind of lift that up?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I would just encourage, you know, with our local churches, a lot of times there are teams or committees or things to have a women's voice around that table in planning. And you know, a lot of times we think, well, how can we reach women? How can we reach? But then we don't ask or involve in planning and praying over things. So I would just encourage, you know, to make sure we're involving women in planning and praying for those ministries and things that we're doing in the local church inside and outside.
That's right. And I can think of multiple occasions where having a lady there, just if nothing more from a hospitality standpoint, that sometimes us guys don't think about hospitality or presentation for that matter. And I know that some of the things that we have done are much better hosted and handled because a lady put a woman's touch on it. And I'm so thankful that with women in our church and the churches that I've been a part of have been willing to do that and to serve in that
way. You know,
way.
In the same way, I think about some of our women's teams will call and say, you know, we want to reach younger women. We know we're not reaching younger women.
Sure.
And then I ask them about the makeup of their team, and there's not one younger woman that's ever been asked, what would it take to reach this generation? So that same concept of having that voice around the table is important.
That's right. That's right. And just giving them the opportunity to have input in the planning and the decision making is very important. Well, you know, the Georgia Baptist Foundation, once again, as I mentioned before, you know, our goal is to try to help Georgia Baptists be good stewards of the resources that God's given them. Maybe you take just a minute. What are some things at Camp Pinnacle that maybe those that are listening to the podcast, if they have an interest in supporting Camp Pinnacle and the work that you're doing there, any suggestions of ways that they might can engage and be involved at Camp Pinnacle?
Yeah, we sure do. We have several opportunities for giving and being engaged at Camp Pinnacle. One I already mentioned really is through our Pinnacle Endowment, through the foundation. And that is, you know, when that gives, that giving goes on and on and on for the future. And
that's
it really
right.
sets us up to be able to have a gospel presence there to help develop disciples and impact the world for years to come. So that's a long-term. There's also some short-term, our capital campaign. We're still looking to build a missionary learning center that's going to give us more conference space and really highlights the history of missions through women over the years. So that's coming up. And then just something coming up really quickly is we're turning one of our homes on the property into a missionary in residence. So we've got some immediate needs for that missionary in residence home.
Yeah. So that's some great ideas if there's folks listening to the podcast. And I guess the best thing to do, they could either reach out to you, or I know Karen Pace is also possibly helping you with some of that.
Yes.
Who would be the best person for them to reach out to if they have the desire to do something like that?
Yeah, Karen Pace is really our point person. I'm happy to talk to anyone, but Karen Pace, it's kpace@gabaptist.org or just georgiabaptistwomen.org/give lays out all of those opportunities, and you can read about those and give online.
That's great. Well, as we come to our time together, one of the things that I just really wanted to do is that, you know, any pastor or anybody in the local church knows that if it were not for the hard work, effort, sweat, tears, and those things that our ladies in our congregations are putting into the ministries, we would not have near the ministry impact that we have. And so really what I wanted to do in our conversation is just take a minute and say, yes, in the midst of just a conversation of what the role of a woman is in ministry, let's not lose the value that women are playing in our local churches and around the world. And it's such an important piece that we don't need to let it get lost in the discussion about the role of women in ministry.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you being here and kind of being a part of this conversation as we talk through some of that.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Yeah. Well, those of you listening to our podcast, we just want to thank you for your time and just want to encourage you and your local church to just be mindful of those ladies that are serving and working so faithfully, and make sure that you let them know that you appreciate what they're doing and that you value just the efforts that they're putting in. And as Beth Ann mentioned, that you also include them as you're thinking and strategic planning, that you just make sure that you're elevating that role of the woman in the local church. Hope you have a good day, and we look forward to visiting with you on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to rate and subscribe to our podcast content so you don't miss an episode. At the Georgia Baptist Foundation, we exist to help churches and their members faithfully steward all that God has blessed them with while effectively leveraging their resources for kingdom purposes. We do this in two primary ways. First, we help individuals include gifts in their estate plans and provide assistance with establishing charitable annuities and trusts. Second, we offer long-term, morally screened investments that allow churches and ministries to better steward ministry dollars. If you want to learn more about how we can help you or your church do more with the resources God has blessed you with, contact us at our website at www.gbfoundation.org. Connect with us on social media as well to stay up to date with our latest podcast content, as well as news on educational events and opportunities.